Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's important for me to, if I want to take the next step and take a jersey here, it's important to have a two-way game. And I know I can play offensively, but you know, I add a lot to my defensive play last year, and I think that's, yeah, good for me. Yeah.
Isaac Rosanne on the trip. Will he play tonight? We could ask that of a lot of players right now because there is uncertainty, Marty, based on the fact that we're in the East, the Sabres are in the West, they haven't had the morning skate yet, and practice was misleading at best yesterday based on the fact that
conflicting reports. That's what we're getting from the West Coast.
I mean, Tage Thompson practiced, but he didn't practice on the first unit power play. And I think with the quote that we led the show with yesterday of Thompson, I was like, this doesn't sound as 100% confident as 2 days ago when the team was heading west. So I'm not sure what
today could be different because he wakes up today in Los Angeles, California, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling really good. And we're, Wednesday night and we have 3 games in 4 and I'm ready to go. And then maybe there's a difference on Friday, Saturday, because you want to be careful. Maybe he doesn't play both games, but I think that would be the one that you would feel the best for, knowing that he's been off for a little bit now. Mm-hmm. And it makes a world of difference. If Tage Thompson is in the lineup, it makes a big difference to the Buffalo Sabres, to their roster construction, to the players that are going. Look, I could easily see, if Tage is not going, Jiří Kulik to play the center between Paterka and Tuck. Now, Alex Tuck was back at practice, so Tuck is still a question mark. But I could see Kulik play with Paterka and Tuck, because it seems to me like
nothing like your first NHL center job as assignment. The top line center
in LA against Kopitar. Let's go, right? Like, make it happen. But it seems to me like Lindy Ruff is trying to change the way the top six is looking, moving Jack Quinn to what was a McLeod and Zucker line in practice yesterday. Mm. So what does that mean for the other groups? Does that mean Rosanne and Kulik are given top 6 minutes and let's go, let's see what you've got right away? Or is Thompson healthy to play and play a lot of minutes? Like, it's just very, very, as you point out, mixed messages and conflicting reports and all of it. Like, I'm confused. I went to bed like, what was it? The Queen's Gambit, when she's looking at the pieces on the ceiling and they're all moving. I went to bed looking at my ceiling, at my roster, and the pieces are moving as I'm falling asleep. That's really what it was.
Is that why you were late for Turkeys for Tickets?
No, I was technically early for Turkeys for Tickets.
Were you?
Because the event was supposed to be from 7 to 9. The email I got was, we need you to be there from 7:30 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. I knew the event from 7 to 9, so I pulled up at 6:45, did my interview on WBEN at 6:50.
Oh my gosh, we were competing? I was on GR.
Yeah, you were on GR at the same time. That's why when I came in.
What a terrible way for people to wake up. It's like, I don't want to hear these people till noon. What are they doing to us?
And you go from BEN to GR, and it's you and I both competing on the same time. Because I was listening to GR on the way in, and they said, coming up is Brian Duff. He's at Turkey's for Tickets at the West Seneca Tops location. We'll talk to him while I'm dialing WBEN on the other side. So, that's why I was not late, but not 30 minutes early.
Right. Well, I always feel like I could get there earlier, even though I'm quite punctual by nature. Yes. And I was there at about, 6:20, 6:30. And of course, the lineup was already long and ready to roll. And then we didn't have, a TV timeout, a commercial break until maybe, about 7:50. You know, like, we had 2 minutes where we didn't have a car. And then all of a sudden, the morning rush continued again. And it was just, it was really great. Obviously, thank you to everyone who helped, from Feed More Western New York, Buffalo City Mission, all the volunteers, and most importantly, you, the very good citizens of Western New York, who, you know, it's pretty obvious any media outlet that you turn on right now, somebody is doing something good in the community to help replenish, you know, the food bank, give hope and a hot meal to people in need at this time of year. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me that you can have so many different events similar to what we were a part of this morning happening. And I'm in awe of the constant turnout, the sheer volume of people. We had some come from across the border this morning, just to get involved. So thank you again. It's heartwarming, to say the least.
Well, I wonder if people got to see us on Channel 4 this morning, because we did a couple of interviews. It's probably on their website right now. But as we were there in Hope, Winter was, interviewing and doing the reporting from there. She asked us the question, like, does it surprise you? And I think that you said something like, well, it's kind of like almost not surprising, but at the same time, every year I'm impressed and surprised by how people are happy to help others. Like, it's so easy. Cars pull up, backseat, trunk, like we open the doors, we open the trunk, we go in. So many cars at other stops of mm-hmm. donations and yeah. other places they were going that day. Like, it wasn't just, let's bring a couple of turkeys and get, Sabre's voucher. It was so many people had other things that they were going to do to help others, especially in this holiday season that's starting with Thanksgiving in a little over a week. So to me, that was the surprise, is that, not just the amount of turkeys, the amount of people we meet, but the amount of people that are on their way to make a difference in other areas in our community.
Yeah, and I would say this one, and I often kind of freeze up in the moment when being interviewed, because, I prefer to be on the other side of it. But the one thing that needs to be constantly stressed is that this type of generosity needs to continue all year long. Mm-hmm. The food shortage never ends. And that is a harsh, sad, terrible reality. And if going through this line and donating leaves you feeling good, spread that message, right? Yep. There are places in our community that need this support every single day. And yes, we are blessed that typically around most significant holidays, we put a bigger spotlight on it, but we can all do a better job of keeping it top of mind on a daily basis.
Yeah, and it's like doing Hockey Fights Cancer in November.
Sabretooth was amazing.
Sabretooth was fantastic in a turkey costume. Very fitting, by the way, for Sabretooth. He's saving room for the turkey next week, so he's lost a few pounds, I think. It's like Hockey Fights Cancer Month, right? But it's not just the month of November. It's all year long that we have these battles and the community battling and family members. And, so that's why it's some teams do two Hockey Fights Cancer night in the year to be able to promote that. We do, Hockey Fights Cancer. We do our Ball for Bucks. It's kind of very similar. We keep bringing it back to, hey, this is all year long that things like that happen. Yes, there's certain times like Thanksgiving, the holidays, winter is hard and hard for a lot of people. Now, we've been lucky weather-wise, because I didn't have to drive this morning to the Tops location with my plow on, which I've done before, and you've seen it, Duffer. I've showed up with the plow before, so didn't have to do that. But, a lot of time people clean their garages and closets in the spring, and that's when a lot of the clothing gets donated, but they need that stuff all year long, right? And that's why it's important to remind people of that.
So thank you again for donating today during Turkeys for Tickets. And obviously, we wish all of you the best this holiday season. The Sabres are starting 3-4, as you mentioned, in California. Tonight in L.A., Friday Anaheim, Saturday in San Jose. Ducks had another win last night, their third in a row and fourth in the last five. San Jose kicks off or continues on the road, but they have a back-to-back starting tonight against Dallas, and they've been very good as well. The Kings and Sabres match up very evenly in a lot of ways. The Kings slightly ahead in the standings, but by a lot of measures, these two are very similar. And as we know, in the first meeting this year, Buffalo was the dominant team. That being said, Buffalo didn't score at 5-on-5. They couldn't get the power play going. They had one shorthanded goal from Alex Tuch. Yep. It didn't hold up because Andre Kopitar took over the third period and scored a natural hat trick, and LA won 3-1. We expect Lukanen at one end. We expect Riddick at the other. And what else should we expect tonight?
Well, and this is where usually by the time we're on the air at noon, we get all the information for morning skate and get to see everything. The Sabres do not have their morning skate until 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, right? Mm-hmm. It's 11:30 California time, West Coast time. So we won't know until later if there is a lot of changes. But the two things that we know, Lukanen's going to go in. He's feeling good. I think this is another one of those step forward situation for Lukanen. The same thing we saw last year in the second half of the season. Once the Sabres said, okay, we have three goalies, we have to have Levi go to Rochester, and you know he's going to play and play a lot in the American League, it opened the door for Lukanen, and all of a sudden, he was the second best goaltender in the league in the second half of the league last year when you look at a lot of metrics, including goal save above expectation. So this, to me, is one of those moments again. Lukanen has played well of late. He was a little banged up, didn't play the third period against Montreal last month, a week and a half ago. But now it's the door's open. It's your net. It's your team. Let's see where you can take it. You got the contract this summer, and James Reimer is there. James Reimer is there as a support system, as a backup, and that's fine. I was in that situation, happy to do it, but it's very much Lukanen's net now, and let's really see where he can take it. And it'd be important for the Sabres to have that consistency in net and say, let's win 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6 now going into, you know, December and setting yourself up. That's where the Kings are. The Kings are 10-6-3, right? They have 4 points, so 4 games over NHL 500. The Sabres need to find their way to not just go to 500 and 1 game over 500, but get their way to 3, 4, 5 games over 500 before it's too late here. Because we're going to be like last year at the end of the year and say, it's the race to 89, it's the race to 91, it's the race to... No, the Sabres have to find a way to get to the race to 96 and 97 to assert themselves in that playoff spot. And I think Lukanen's a big part of that.
Right, and if you're wondering when I mentioned Riddick earlier, based on the fact that the Kemper game against Buffalo is probably still the best goaltending performance we've seen against the Sabres this year, or forgive me if I'm forgetting other ones, but Kemper is hurt at the moment, so it is Riddick's net with former Sabre Eric Portillo as the backup, but Riddick is 4-1-1 lifetime against the Sabres and will be in tonight. Darren Dreger's coming up. Dan Dunleavy also on the show today as we get you set for game one of this road trip, and an awful lot around the NHL, and frankly, not a lot of it, not all of it great. Not just, you know, some of the injury situations we speak of, you know, personal leaves, JT Miller's situation in Vancouver is concerning, obviously. And, you know, we were not far removed from the first firing yesterday in the coaching ranks that we talked about late in the show. And it did, in fact, happen. And that was the Bruins moving off of Jim Montgomery, who is almost 80 games over 500.
In his career.
In his tenure with the Bruins. Like, it is... It's mind blowing. Almost 80 games over like 120 wins, 41 loss. Like, holy cow.
Yeah, and the Bruins this year are, you know, a game under 500, just like the Sabres are. A lot of it is weird to me, and we can talk to Darren Dreger about it, but I, when you asked me on the show yesterday, this or that, which one kind of is the one coach to be maybe on, more on the hotter seat or whatever, I said Jim Montgomery, and Derek Lalonde in Detroit is not that far. But I also said that I think the seat is very hot for Don Sweeney. And Don Sweeney is the one that obviously is in charge of the roster. The roster has gone downhill after Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, they lost DeBrusk. They decide to bring Elias Lindholm and Zadorov in contracts. He traded Allmark, did not sign Swayman until it was very late, right at the season starting. Even so much so that Cam Neely came in and was like doing a press conference to really be, you know, setting the stage. And so I think this was Don Sweeney maybe saving himself for a little bit and firing Jim Montgomery.
Darren's coming up here. We want to remind you that Thanksgiving Eve is fast approaching. It's the most fun night on the calendar. That's my personal commentary. And we didn't have it last year, so I'm really glad it's back that we have a home game on Thanksgiving Eve. First 10,000 fans receive a gravy boat. Ah, gravy. Seriously.
It's like, a Zamboni gravy boat.
Yes. And all you need, first 10,000 receive it. Go to sabres.com/gravy boats. No, slash tickets. That's where you have to go. But always get gravy at the very least on the side. It enhances everything. Dregs, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I can match you with an okay.
We usually have a commercial break. Dregs comes on. We talk about things, whatever. Now it's right in the middle of the show. You're on the fly, man. So we are going to be looking at some on-the-fly analysis from the insider.
Okay. What are you looking for?
Well, we were just talking Jim Montgomery. And okay. I said yesterday on the show, I thought Jim Montgomery was going to be maybe the first one to be fired.
Yeah.
But I did mention that Don Sweeney bears a ton of responsibilities for what's going on in Boston. Is Cam Neely now looking at Don Sweeney and saying, hey, you fired your coach. You may have bought yourself 3-4 months, but that may be it.
Yeah, I think he has to be. I think organizationally, they've got to be looking at it that way. And I don't think that Don Sweeney is looking to distance himself, you know, from the disappointment of the Boston Bruins to this point. I mean, you know, when he went out shopping with the cap space that they had in the offseason, you know, he had to think, okay, I'm bringing in Elias Lindholm. So that's going to help us vastly up the middle of the ice. And Lindholm is a nice center in the National Hockey League, but he's not fancy, deceptive, creative. He's a workhorse. He's a two or a three on a good team. And evidently Boston isn't that. Then you look at defensively, their big splash was Nikita Zadorov. And I remember following Zadorov, you know, as a potential UFA target for a lot of teams, the Maple Leafs included. And the concern was, hey, there's a lot to like about this guy. His size, he's got some bite to him. You know, there's some elements that you like, but is he a second pairing guy or is he a third pairing guy? And he wanted to be paid and was paid as a second pairing guy. And I don't think that they're getting fair value there. So, yeah, for sure, eventually it falls at the feet of the general manager. I mean, he's the architect of a lot of the decisions made here. The easiest thing in the world to do is what they did. And I'm not making light of a tough decision by Don Sweeney and Cam Neely. Coaches are fired all the time. You guys know that in Buffalo. I mean, it happens. And now the pressure kind of shifts over to Joe Sacco, who's an interim coach, but more so to the general manager's office where, you know, he's got to realize that he's out of bullets. I mean, he just is. So let's see how the players respond to Joe Sacco. And maybe we're having a different conversation about the future of Don Sweeney in due time, whenever that is.
Vancouver is already without Brock Besser and Thatcher Demko. JT Miller has now joined that, taking an indefinite leave.
Crazy.
For personal reasons. How do you view how Vancouver navigates this? Obviously, we saw their press release yesterday with no further comment out of respect for JT. I thought the Canucks played really well last night against the Rangers. It was a really hard battle. They lost 4-3. That happens against good teams, but Vancouver just went 2-4 on their homestand, and that's tough, right? Like they've had some overachievers kind of helping them along here, but this is a lot to deal with.
Right. And there's so many pieces to this puzzle. And Rick Tocchet, this year at least, hasn't been able to put those pieces together. Right. So you look at the start of Elias Pettersson, and it was slow and he wasn't producing. Well, now all of a sudden, he's got it going again. And he's proven to be that impact difference maker that we all expected he could and would be. You know, and then JT Miller has fallen off the map. And, you know, we don't dive too deep into the personal realities of any player or anyone. I don't. That's my philosophy on it. I mean, if the player chooses to disclose, if the club chooses to disclose, then that's fine. Open game. We can have that conversation. So here's what I know. JT is dealing with something physical and has been for quite some time. So that was taking a toll on him from a game perspective. He knew he wasn't playing up to his capability. The team was struggling. And because of all of that, you know, there was a mental toll that was also being taken here on JT Miller. You know, at the end of the day, man, he's the head of the snake. He is the energy. He's the driver of the Vancouver Canucks. So I think they've handled this well. The team is very supportive. So JT Miller slips away for an undetermined length of time. Everybody, including JT Miller, is hoping that it's shorter. It's not going to be a long-term thing. If he comes back physically healthy, mentally recharged, then look out. The Vancouver Canucks are going to be that much better of a team. And then you look at, you know, what Dakota Joshua is going to provide. Thatcher Demko has to feel like a mega trade when he slips back into the crease. And, you know, he's not that far away. They want to get him the reps so that he can be a regular performer in Vancouver. So I still think, despite the adversity, this is a really good Western Conference team.
Yeah, and Rick Tocchet said something to the media yesterday. He said, listen, no, I don't want any speculation. It's nothing in the bed sheets. And it was kind of like very forward, like don't go out saying, hey, what's going on? Is it personal? Is it him and his family, his wife, whatever? No, no, no. Like that's nothing. And I thought that was good on the head coach to just set the record straight, because it was already starting to get some rumors. And it was like, what? Like, people are crazy when they start putting things out there that are completely not factual. So that was good on him. Another injury that was a massive one was Ovechkin with the lower body, lower leg injury, week to week. But is this Dregs more like 3 to 4 weeks? Is it 7 to 8? Like, where are we looking? Because this will impact not only, you know, the Washington Capitals, but the chase for Gretzky's record. It was going to happen this year now, and now we don't know.
I know, and that's crazy talk when you think about it, because I think we all had come to terms with the fact that there was going to be a new record holder, and his name is Alex Ovechkin, at the start of the year. But would it take 2 years? And that seemed more plausible to me. I didn't think that he had 42 in him in one season, but then he starts the way he started. And you know, in conversation with Ray Ferraro on our podcast earlier this week, the one thing that he said he's noticed more between the benches at ice level is how good a shape that Ovi was into this point, and how you could see that burst of speed that we used to see all the time, either hunting down pucks or even on the back check. Like, when's the last time Alex Ovechkin was noted for being a ferocious back checker? But you could see it occasionally in the game that he was playing at this point. Now, we know the Capitals have listed him week to week. What I was told yesterday is that, there's further testing that needs to go on. So until they have all of the evidence, then they're not entirely sure of what the exact diagnosis is, and they can't be certain what the prognosis is in terms of, is it a 4 to 6 week injury, or is it longer than that? But I suspect that we're going to learn that in the next few days.
My favorite very recent Ovechkin moment was when he capped the hat trick the other night, and Shea Theodore was trying to do his best to disrupt that play, and Ovi just widened the shoulders, backed up the truck while moving forward simultaneously, and basically blew Theodore up. And it's like seriously, get out of here. I'm getting the hat trick, and you're done.
You know what?
Like, it's Shea Theodore, for crying out loud.
Exactly right. I mean, you're talking about, at times, a dominant defenseman in the National Hockey League. I mean, one of the better defensemen, for sure. But I would say this to the fans who are watching or listening here. You guys have seen Ovechkin up close. I don't think the average hockey fan, unless you've had the privilege of being at ice level for a warm-up or you've seen him face-to-face, realize how big and strong this human being is. He is just a monstrous creature. So whatever his workout habits were this offseason, man, he put in the work and he has been rewarded for that. So, yeah, this is a blip in the map. It really has. And incredibly, I think I read somewhere yesterday or the day before, he's missed like something like 35 games total in 19 seasons. Mm-hmm. 35. So he's been incredibly durable to this
very point. Very durable. Let me ask you about Austin Matthews quickly, because if we had an injury in Buffalo and after being day-to-day for weeks, because now it's been like more than a week in, with Austin Matthews, he took, you know, that player went up to Germany with a member of the training staff of the team to go see a specialist. Somebody that they've seen before, but still, I'd be a little concerned. Like, number one, who's this doctor in Germany that seems to be the special go-to person? And two, is there some worries about Austin Matthews and his health in Toronto?
Yeah, there would be some worry for sure, because this has lingered. And, you know, as Craig Berube recently disclosed, it does date all the way back to training camp. And initially, when Austin Matthews missed that Tuesday game, oh, a couple of weeks ago now, you know, the sense was, no, it was recent. Well, it had been aggravated recently, but it is an issue that flared up during the preseason and in training camp. So the fact that he wasn't getting better through treatment and through rest in Toronto, yeah, I mean, that would be concerning for everyone associated with the Maple Leafs. This is interesting, though. So you can probably Google healing hands. So H-A-N-S. The doctor's first name is Hans, right, in Germany. This guy has treated some of the mega stars, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Connor McDavid. I mean, go down the list. And it sounds to me, the procedure that is applied here, I believe, is called Activagen, A-C-T-I-V-O-G-E-N. And you remember years ago, 15, maybe even 20 years ago, there was a doctor based out of Toronto who would do that platelet procedure, right?
Yep.
And there was a blood injection and all that. Well, it sounds like that's kind of what's going on here. What sort of blood they're using. I've read all kinds of stuff. Whether it's applied to Austin Matthews, don't really know. Again, it kind of drifts over into the JT Miller category of, all right, well, If the team or the player wants to disclose the specifics, that's up to them. But there's all sorts of things swirling around. At the end of the day, whether it's out there or not, as long as Matthews believes it's working and he gets healthy, that's all the Toronto Maple Leafs care about. That's all they care about.
This is interesting because I'm reading an article from 2011 on ESPN, and they say he ranks as either the greatest healer since... with Hippocrates, is that how you say it? Duffer, help me out here. And like, that's the headline. I'm like, dude, like, this is from 2011. We're talking, I was still playing in 2011, and this guy was known as the great healer. Like, he's something special.
Well, maybe he is. I mean, what I know is that some of the great athletes of today's major sports go to see this dude. So
healing
let's
Hans.
Hope it works out.
Greek history or whatever.
I've already fast forwarded to the Four Nations tournament and the drug testing. If there is drug testing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway.
You know why I'm fascinated by the Four Nations, real quickly, just to interject here, is because it's been announced, of course, that the networks are going to have just a field on December 4th.
Oh,
and
yes.
And all Four Nations are going to publicize the full rosters. The rosters have to be submitted by December 2nd. So guess what's going to happen between December 2nd and December 4th? When the league and everybody involved is trying to make this, turn this into a major spectacle. Here's the unveiling of the Four Nations rosters. Well, guys on my side of the hockey reporting business are probably digging in between December 2nd and the 4th to find out what those rosters are.
So it's Vegas part two. But
could be. I don't know.
Two, we'll find three, out.
Seattle
four, and
was
five.
Bad too. Seattle was the one.
Yeah. Kaprizov.
Yeah, Natchez, really good.
Yeah. McKinnon, who wins the heart?
Ooh. Well, MacKinnon is it's not an easy bet, right? Because Colorado is all over the map. I mean, right. We're still not really sure what Colorado Avalanche, you know, what that team is right now, aside from MacKinnon and Rantanen and Cale Makar and the superstars that they have. I love the Marty Natchez story. I do. I just like the way that he has embraced what he was challenged to embrace by Rod Brind'Amour and the Hurricanes. And that's, you want more ice. You know, your family wants you to be this. Your family wants you to be that publicly. Okay, that's fine, but you have to earn it. And he's earned it. And he's delivering, so he's a terrific story. I'm critical of our coverage nationally in Canada of Kaprizov because if he were in a Canadian uniform, we'd be talking about him no different than we do McDavid, Matthews, Leon Draisaitl, the superstars, Mitch Marner, go down the list, right? Yeah. He just, and not that, you know, Minnesota is an outcast or, you know, somewhere out there. I mean, it's very much a hockey area. So it's not like he's being underserved, you know, by coverage in Minnesota. It's just, he is so good. Was it Zuccarello who just came out recently and said he thinks he's the best in the league?
And that would make sense based on how the season started right before Zuccarello got hurt. And Minnesota's off to their best start at 12-3-3. So, I mean, this is a lot.
I have Kaprizov as the MVP so far.
He'd be up there, man.
And Hippocrates is the guy, is the father of medicine. So I had to Google it and press on play for the sound. Hippocrates.
It sounds hypocritical to me.
It does.
Yes, it does. So,
anyway. Thank you for injecting. Oh, sorry.
Assuming that's what's going.
Interjecting. Yes. On the what topic was
transfusing.
It?
Transfusing.
Oh, on the Four Nations. You interjected on the Four Nations, and who knows about the injections that are going
on
elsewhere. Thanks, Dregs.
Thanks, guys.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider from TSN. Dan Dunleavy next on Sabres.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres on the road tonight in L.A. Amerks are on the road in Laval. So a little bit of an organizational doubleheader based on the timing of it. We can watch the Amerks early and then hit the air for late night action with the Sabres. Dan Dunleavy's in L.A. Dan, we'll start with the easy one. Do you expect Luukkonen to start tonight?
From everything that we've obviously seen and heard over the last couple of days, yeah, I do. I haven't spoken to him personally about it, but he's certainly not moving around on or off, you know, with any indication that things would be taking a step back today. But as I mentioned just before we came on, once we get to the rink here, when we're done chatting, we'll get a better look at who is on the ice after a practice yesterday and see how they felt. And it's kind of, as you're well aware, it's one of those situations where there's guys taking the ice now after taking a day or two to rest, whether it's Tage or whether it's Alex, then we got to find out how they feel after stepping on the ice for a little bit. So I don't want to jump the gun on taking too many guesses here, but yeah, Luukkonen, it certainly does appear. If not, had some fun with James Reimer. Guys, as you well know, you know Reimer very well, and as do I. And I said, well, you feel like you're back home again all of a sudden as soon as we got off the plane in the hotel. He says, yeah, I'm kind of ready if they need me. So, you know, they're in a good spot, I think, having, not that they weren't with Devin Levi. I love seeing Devin going down and playing. But I like seeing James Reimer here as well from a veteran goaltender perspective, who's just going to be even keeled. And even on the bench the other night, and I believe it was in Philly when I caught him, and he still had, even as things weren't going so well, he had the right demeanor and personality down there, which I think is important as a veteran guy. And, you know, just trying to, obviously taking things seriously, but trying to keep the guys a bit loose too, with a smile that he obviously brings to the rink every day.
We talked about it last year a little bit. The second half of the season, Luukkonen really was performing well. And, you know, Levi was in Rochester, and I felt like the door was open for Luukkonen to just say, I'm the guy. And we discussed with you about his body language, walking in on the plane, at practice, around the rink, and all of that. And I feel like the door is opening for Luukkonen again now. Levi's going to Rochester. Luukkonen had played well, a little setback with the minor injury. But, you know, is this the same body language that you've seen out of Luukkonen this season that he was displaying last year in the second half of the year?
I do. I don't think anything in his – and again, I always preface this whenever I talk to anybody. I've never played the position, so I can't get in the head. But just from the question that you ask as far as his demeanor, his approach, his personality, conversations after practice back home – there's not been a ton of road games yet. Of course, they're getting into a bit of a swing of him here, but he seems to have that same mentality, same approach. And I think the in-game part of his development, which is obviously still got a ceiling to it, I think it's fair to say, is that it's the consistency of his performance with his positioning, his decision-making, when to challenge, when not to challenge, when to be aggressive, all that stuff. And then also working with, you know, a little bit of – it's not a different group in front of them, but the way that they're playing, and it's not rocket science the way they're playing, but when the breakdowns are happening, there's an awful lot of odd man rushes that come back. When you go up the ice as a group and you don't come back as that same group, as you know, you're in a little bit of trouble. So for me, I've been a little bit, I don't know, I've given them a soft landing spot, number one, for you know, maybe not having the numbers statistically that he wants to have as a goaltender, and that you need, obviously, when people look at who are the top goalies around the league, it's pretty easy when you look at those numbers. So, yeah, I think his preparation, I think his approach and everything else remains the same, Marty, to your question from last year.
So regardless of Thompson, this is hard to say regardless, but we don't know yet. Regardless of Thompson or Tuck being in and where that might leave Kulik and Rosén, what is the biggest challenge for Buffalo tonight against LA?
Rob and I were talking about this last night at dinner, and the conversation was a bit about, without 72 in the lineup, or if 89's not in, or Jordan Greenway for that matter, obviously he's not going to be, that you need to find a way, hoping that it's really one at a time, Brian, to your question, and not all three at once. You know, it could be two out of the three, and who knows, but is to find that mentality of playing the game that Lindy has, you know, with his mindset of playing as a connected group of five players on the ice for every shift, when it's attacking and defending and it's communicating. And we've seen that when they're connected, it could be any of the five guys on the ice that play fairly well. They are in position to make stops. They're in position to block shots, sticks, and lanes. So for me, Brian, it's just the mentality that if Tage is out, don't put so much pressure on yourself if you're a goal scorer to score, but shoot the puck. Don't be shy, for me personally, don't be shy to be a little bit more aggressive. And that's what I've liked from Jiří Kulik so far, is that certainly even in the last game in Philly, you know, obviously not the grade A chances or looks and not the results that he wanted, but I'm noticing a guy that gets it. He's a shooter. So when he got the puck on a stick, he would take the shot. You could obviously break down a game and ask if he should pass here or there, but you want to see Quinn. I want to see Quinn. I want to see Kulik. I want to see Dylan. I want to see them shoot. I want to see Dylan Cousins go to the net. I want to see Zach Benson continue to do what he's doing. Get to the net, be a pest, possess the puck down low in the offensive zone. So I think those are the things. If those guys do those things, Brian, then they should be okay. They'll be in a tighter game than they would if they had Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck and Greenway all healthy. But you keep yourself in the game if you just be yourself and do it as a connected group. Don't try to do any more, and certainly don't go into the game thinking, boy, we've got a mountain to climb here. If you go in with that mindset, you're in trouble.
So Henry Jokiharju will draw back into the lineup. He's missed the last six. What do you expect out of Jokiharju, and what do you think Lindy Ruff wants to see from Jokic Aryu after sitting out six games and, you know, being the second one, because, you know, you saw Bryson come back in, you saw Clifton come back in, you saw Gilbert come back in, but you didn't see Jokic Aryu come back in until tonight. He's coming back in. So what do you think they want to see from him, and what do you expect?
Well, at least the message I've heard from Lindy, and when we've talked to him too, you know, down outside the room, certainly well off camera, the message has been consistent as far as what he wants from his defenseman. It's pretty much been the same thing. Obviously, there's different roles for Rasmus and Byram when it comes to carry and Owen Power for carrying the puck up the ice. But the one consistent thing is for that group, and that includes Henry Okiharyu, it's the first pass. Don't waste time in your own zone. And when you have a chance to get in a lane as a defenseman, whether it's a hit, it's a block, it's a stick, it's something, compete. Get in the lane, compete. I'm not saying Henry doesn't compete, but it has to be something that's done consistently shift after shift. And I think that's where, you know, obviously Jacob Bryson has won over at Lindy Ruff. And I think Henry Okiharyu certainly has the capabilities to do that. He can skate. He can have an edge to his game. I remember last year when he sat out and he came back in, he did develop a little bit of this edge and this little bit of an attitude that, hey, I didn't like being sat out. And it's kind of, excuse my Canadian French here, I'll just say it's kind of peeing me off. And so go in and play Pete off a little bit and go out there to keep your job, but do it for your teammates. So I think for Henry, he has every ability as far as being a very strong young man to get in lanes, get in skating lanes, make life difficult for people. And actually, I mean, you guys do a lot more numbers work than I do, but I certainly have seen that the Sabres, you know, goals against numbers when he's in the lineup are not that bad. So if Henry just continues to be him at his best and doing it more consistently, again, it's the same for every player. But I think there's times that maybe guys just, I'm not saying they take their foot off the gas pedal, but perhaps your mind can wander a little bit. Okay, I'm in the lineup, I'm good, next shift. But every next shift's got to be a battle. Every next shift's got to be quick to the bench. Every next shift has got to be communicating. So I think for Henry, that's the consistency that Lindy Ruff wants from him. And it's the same message he's given to everybody on that blue line. So it shouldn't be hard for Henry to figure out what's wanted of him.
All right, we will find out the lineup soon enough when the Sabres take to the ice for their morning skate. Obviously, Sabres social channels will have that. Dan, thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you in Razor tonight.
All right, guys. Good to see you. Take care.
Sabres Live continues after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but we don't have a show the rest of the week.
Bad news. But our crew is going to be working a lot of late nights this week. So it gives them a little time, and the Bills are on a bye week. So we got to take care of our own people. Mm-hmm. And this is us, not being on the air tomorrow or Friday. So we can take care of our own people they're going to be up until 1:30, 2 a.m. tonight, and again on Friday night, and we have the game Saturday. So, yeah, just giving them a little bit of a break.
Good. I'm just curious whether we think the audience is getting a break out of this.
Well, everybody's getting a break, but we'll be on social media. Well, I'll put some videos out there. I'll do some stuff. Let's go. Let's keep it going, especially. And by the way, I forgot to do my pregame video against the Flyers on Saturday. So I'm taking a loss here. I'm taking the L. I think I've missed two this year, and they're both losses. So that's on me. I got to be better. That's on me. This is my worst performance ever.
Well, I think what's truly coming from my heart and mind here when I speak almost in terms of despair, not being on tomorrow and Friday, it's the fact that it means no Shayna this week. So I apologize on behalf of the entire crew that we don't have Shayna on this week, but she will, I'm told, return on Tuesday. Oh, the show is actually going on tomorrow?
Well, it will be like from noon to one. It will be and plus One Bills Live will not be on from 1 to 3 either. So it's going to be WGR programming that will be on. And on the MSG side, well, you may get some New York Knicks highlights from
or betting tips.
Or maybe you'll get the replay of the Sabres win tonight. And if you fell asleep in the third period, you can watch it again tomorrow. Yes.
Okay, so I'm having, it's great, it's sad simultaneously. you know that probably my favorite player in the league, non-Sabre, is Anže Kopitar.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the volume of notes about Kopitar right now, notwithstanding his hat trick against the Sabres earlier this year.
Yes.
But on the all-time assist list, he is 6 behind the first true number 11 love in my life, Gilbert Perreault.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, again, it just emphasizes, reinforces how incredible this individual has been. And Kopitar was lucky enough to be eventually surrounded by a cast that allowed him to lead them to 2 Stanley Cups. But I can't say enough good about this individual. And Buffalo's got a challenge, as always, against he and the Kings tonight.
Yeah, and now obviously Kopitar was the guy that put the team on his back with a hat trick against the Sabres in the home opener. He leads their team in points, and he's over a point per game. Mm-hmm. Like, this is impressive, the fact that Anže Kopitar has got 21 points in 19 games. Now, he's not scoring a ton. He's only got 5 goals, but he's really involved in a lot of plays. And, yeah, the Sabres are going to have to find a way to match him. And, you know, if it comes with you know, matchups with Thompson or with Cousins or with McLeod, like, you got to find a way to counter him in this game tonight.
5 in total in the NHL tonight. The Sabres and Kings will be the last one out of the chute. 10:30 Eastern, 10 o'clock pregame on MSG. We'll see you then.